Hey there, Lost in Space fans. You are on the precipice of a fantastic after show. Because we're talking about Lost in Space, Season 2, Episode 2, Precipice. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Lost in Space after show. The best after show in the galaxy.
Yes.
Lost in Space, Season 2, Episode 2, Precipice. I'm your host, Elena Jordan, and joining me, as always today, the phenomenal James Maple.
Hiya, it's your boy James Maple.
Our resident sci-fi super expert and space map.
Yes, yes.
Himself with
permanently
his tat
marked
on the back.
On my back. One day you'll see it.
I mean, I feel like if they follow you on Instagram,
they
Twitter,
could. You could follow me at Terrell James Maple and see all my things.
And Alice Ford.
Hey guys, and I'm on Earth today, so
I love that your Instagram is Alice's Adventures on Earth.
That's
but
right.
It's actually
just in case
your adventures in space.
That's right, because a lot of people are like, "Well, when are you going space exploring?" And I said, "Well, just tune on into our Lost in Space after show.
It's happening right now.
Right now." And Taylor Gates.
What's up?
Yeah, yeah.
So excited.
I'm so excited, too, that you're here because you also are, you just watched all of the first season again, too. So you know all the details.
I do.
You're pulling up all these things that I'm kind of forgotten.
I am the flight manual. I am the
you
flight manual.
You are the flight manual.
Yes.
What do you need to know?
Look at that line.
Guys, I got it.
I love it. So, overall thoughts. We're in the second episode of this season now, so we're getting a little bit more of a feel of what the season's going to be like. What'd you guys think?
I really liked this. I like when we have episodes where we have, like, very obvious different sort of story arcs that are going on that sort of tie together at the end, because we had, obviously, Dawn and Dr. Smith in one. We had Maureen and Penny. We had Will and John working together. So I like seeing the kind of different relationships, you know, people forced together sort of by their circumstance, which is really fun to see.
I just love that the episode pretty much opened and on Will being like, you guys, let's explore this road.
No.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And then obviously mom's like, no. And then
absolutely not.
There was a lot of danger and turmoil that happened, and I loved
danger.
It all.
Yeah, yeah. Danger.
Yeah, I agree. I'm happy that we were finally getting to see, like, the physics of the actual environment of the planet. Now, I feel like, you know, being on the ship, it was very localized to just the ship itself. So now I feel like we're starting to explore, like, what's going on? Is this water? What's this with this algae? So I'm happy to see, like, we're finally digging into, like, the environment of the planet itself.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for that.
And we're seeing more and more of why this planet is so sketchy.
Yeah.
Right,
totally.
Before we GTFO.
Peace out, guys.
Good call, everybody. But yeah, so this picks up directly from the last episode where we have this waterfall. They're stuck on the edge. I'm on the edge. just because. And they have this weird metal thing underneath, and they're like, you know what? We're just not even going to worry about that. Let's not think about it. Let's not worry about it. We already have our own things to deal with. Forget about this. But because it's a show, we know that they would not introduce this and never come back to it. So they have this idea first to use a kite. It's like Benjamin Franklin, like, key, like, oh, yeah, we're going to fly this kite, and the kite is going to be what gets the lightning storm, and we've got 97 minutes, like, right at the top, like, setting it up. We have an hour and a half, and this is how much time we have to make it all fit. But what did you guys think, especially when they talk about George Reichman, who, the one who attempted Ben Franklin's experiment and instead was struck in the forehead and killed instantly. Did you guys feel that this was maybe setting up, like, hey, one day you're the Franklin, one day you're the Reichman? Which did you think it was going to be for them today?
I think that, as always with Lost in Space, it always, like, nothing ever just goes smoothly for them. And I think whenever they say, like, oh, this is easy, it's like, well, it's not going to be them. Like, that's, you are just jinxing yourself when you say that. So I knew they were going to encounter more problems than they anticipated.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to go well either. Obviously, it didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I just, when they set the plan forth and they were like, oh man, we got this. I put a little kite up in the angle, electricity, boom, boom, off the planet. I was like, girl, please, hang on. Get out of here with that mess.
I do love it. Yeah, anytime they're like, oh, this is so easy. And I'm like, you have been stuck on this planet for 7 months.
Literally.
It clearly was not that easy. But anyway, but yeah, so this one, they're talking about how they're going to do this whole plight, the whole mm-hmm. kite plan. But the problem is that while they're in the middle of getting all of this stuff all set, Penny, of course, is tasked with the dummy duty, as she keeps saying, where she and Dawn go to get rid of all the kelp that's on the side of the
right,
building.
Right.
Which is like, okay, I too would be like, everyone else gets to do cool stuff and I have to go help this man clear off plants. Like, that's my space mission, Mom, really? But turns out poor Penny can't even handle that. Because, yeah. I mean, that's a mean way to put it. It's like, this was not her fault. She was doing her best.
But it's not inaccurate.
Yeah, true. She's like, I got the dummy job. And I'm like, you're also the only one who was washed off of a freaking waterfall.
Yeah.
Granted, Mom dove right in after you. I was like, Maureen, what was your plan, Maureen?
Waterfalls. Oh, yeah.
She went chasing waterfalls.
And TLC specifically told us not to do that.
You guys were warned.
Yeah,
you guys were warned.
From the mid-90s, we knew that was a bad
idea. And I take
all
of my advice from Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
Yes. Rest in peace.
Always.
She's out in space.
Yes. Yeah. I like it. I like it. Burning people's house down in space. So this kelp turns out that it's actually this horrible thing that can put you in anaphylactic shock and, you know, basically kill you. So Dawn is rushed off to the emergency area with Judy, where then we have literally this split where Mom and Penny have been shoved off a waterfall. I kind of like, though, that they set this up, going back with what you're saying, the situations that create this. They needed to have this conversation, and it would have never happened otherwise.
Yeah.
But what did you guys think about this whole thing? Because I'll be honest, when I first see Dad going up for the big thing, and then it, like, knocks the thing off, I'm like, okay, but you have a ladder now.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you have a ladder, why, like, my first thought is, like, okay, you need to go up. Ladder.
Boom, boom, boom. You just go up and you're there.
Am I smarter than Maureen right now? I don't think that's supposed to happen. So, I think that's the only time that I was like, but you have pieces of a ladder here. Just, like, why is this your last resort?
You just go. That's how that happens. You just go. I thought that the scene needed to happen because of what you said, Taylor. Given the dynamic between mother and daughter, they were literally forced to have a conversation mm-hmm. about their dynamic between each other. And then moreover, it was a great throwback to what you mentioned before about the diary that was stolen and published. And then she called her mom out and was like, did you read it? And she's like, well, you know, your writing is developing.
Yeah, I'm
like, girl, you know you lie. You ain't read that. So I thought that scene needed to happen so you can really see that the dynamic between the two of them. So.
And I love how kind of messy it ended up because, like, part of it's like, okay, I feel like they kind of put a band-aid on the relationship after that scene.
Totally.
Because she's like, I'm totally going to read it, like, when we get back up there. And I'm like, okay, she's trying. But also, Penny's, like, still salty at her. Like, I like how it's sort of, like, it's not tied up in a neat bow. And we still have it kind of open-ended, you know, in terms of where those two are headed in terms of if they're going to patch up their mother-daughter relationship.
Well, and I think it's going to be, like, throughout the whole season. Because I know at that age, I was a little salty, like, with my parents.
Yeah.
Salty like the ocean, and they're trying to get back up.
Yeah, and it took me, like, a couple years to be like, oh, I was kind of a brat.
Yeah, it definitely took me growing up a lot to realize, oh, yeah, what you guys had to do was a lot harder. I just existed. You had to, like, keep me going to things. But, yeah, I like that they do have this whole conversation. The only thing, though, was when, you know, it boils down to this big moment where they're finally in the chariot. They're like, oh, we're still going to try our original plan. We're just going to have, you know, the conductor cable. It's metal, so we'll be able to use it as a Faraday cage. We'll be safe inside, but we'll still be able to power and get off this planet. Which is like, okay, cool. But in your moments, you're sitting there and the doors aren't closing and you think you're going to die.
Yeah.
You're... potential last words to your daughter are, I didn't read your book. Mom!
Like, where is the love?
Come on. But I will. You don't know that, Maureen. You might be dead in a second. Maybe say something like, I've always been proud of you.
Yeah, right?
You're so much more than you think you are. You've never let me down.
Here's the thing. I didn't read your book.
Right, here's the thing. I didn't read your book. And thank gosh, because look, we might not have even had very much time. That's all that time I would have lost. It's like, not very maternal instincts there, Maureen. Like,
But she doesn't really have, I mean, she doesn't really have heart-to-hearts with any of her kids, really.
Yeah.
She's pretty, like, closed off.
Yeah. But she's very science-minded.
Totally.
Yeah. And Penny is very emotionally driven. Yeah. So the two of them together, they feel like they don't connect as well.
But it is funny because, like, Maureen and John, I feel like, have had more close, like, emotional scenes together in the first two
episodes. Well,
they needed
it badly. Yeah. They were, like, on the verge of a divorce.
Of sinking in that mud hole and not coming back.
Which is part of why I think that it was such a big thing for them to get off the island, or get off the planet, because that was the thing of, like, they'll never have what we have. And it's like, they know how much they fought to even get to that point. Right. So it's like, okay, you got to give your kids the attempt to for this struggle. But while all of this madness is happening, friggin' Dr. Smith, always with her little genitals. She's like the kelp. Like, she just gets in and just... So Judy has to give a blood transfusion to poor Dawn, and somehow she just knows everybody's blood type, and the only compatible person is Dr. Smith, who also happens to be in the room, so convenient. But while they're getting this blood transfusion, she does her super creepy Blood Brothers monologue. About, like, ugh, like the same thing she was pulling on Penny, where she's like, you're the outcast. She's like, you're the outcast. Yeah. You're like me. You're, you know, the outlier. She did the same thing even with Will, where she's like, no, we're the same. We're the only ones with the connection to the robot. Even though mine was for a bodyguard and yours was for a friend, it was just for uses.
Yeah.
I mean,
The only person that she, or people that she hasn't gotten underneath their skin in this episode is Judy and John.
Yeah. Because they just are not going to have it. Like, they're both the ones that were like, lock her up. Throw her out. We don't care.
I do think that she's going to try to get with Judy, or, like, under Judy's skin, because she's like, Dad, I can handle more. And I think that she's feeling like they don't really, like, they're underestimating her. So I think that's going to be Dr. Smith in with her.
You know what I do love about this character, though? One, Parker Posey plays her phenomenal.
Yeah, she does.
But it is interesting that you point out the one person she hasn't gone after is John. Whereas most of these things, if you have a female villain, they use their sexuality as a weapon, and that's the main first thing that they go for. And this show is like, no, it's her brain, her manipulation. It's not her body that she's using.
That's a good point.
So I think that that is really pretty groundbreaking in this show without it even being overt.
Yeah.
So I liked that. I thought that was kind of cool.
I do wonder what she has in mind, because she... for, like, that 3D printer. Because it seems like she keeps going back into the like, room with the computer and the printer and being like,
should
I do it?
I love this.
And then it's another gun. And then it's like flash to a different scene. And you're like, what is she up to?
Dun, dun, dun.
A robot arm? I don't know.
I don't know. What's
this? I think it's going to be a gun again. Because that was the whole thing when she printed out the gun first season. And it's like, that's the only schematic she knows.
Yeah.
You know, like the only... So it's like, she could potentially... out another weapon.
But she's been studying, who knows.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's going to be worse. For me, I think it's going to be something intense. I don't know. Hopefully not too terribly intense. But we know that another intense thing that is happening right now is their friggin' alien robot thing came back to life.
Yeah.
And Will has apparently, because of his connection, has been hearing it this whole time. Whatever glyphs that they got close to, whatever the writing was, seems to have reactivated, which we saw the first season, the same thing with the robot. He needed to be by a ship, he needed to be by the source. But we now know whatever made that robot, and whatever made however many others there could be, this is the source. This is where it came from. So that's pretty intense. And then next we get another alert that's like, oh, wait, there's something heading towards. Of course, we're like, it's a meteor and it's going to hit us because this is our lives. We're the Robinsons. They're like, no, it's actually the Resolute. Only problem is we saw the very, very first opening scene that the Resolute was crashed into by the second alien robot, the SAR, and our initial robot. We don't know what the state of the Resolute is right now. So
and
we don't
7
know.
Months have gone by.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
So, I think we should give a couple little predictions here. But before we do, do you guys have any last thoughts on this episode?
I just want to say, why aren't you ever strapped in? And please strap down all of the items in your ship.
I'm definitely with you. Don't just say, hold on. It's you have straps for a reason.
Well, also, haven't you ever driven in an RV, people? I mean, come on. So strap down those gear.
Yeah.
Click in our ticket, guys.
There we go.
Yeah, space police. Come on.
All right, well then, diving into a little quick prediction here. What do you guys think that this means, the audio signature that they found for the Resolute, do you think that when they get there, it will still be intact?
I do, because I think that we are going to, like, our cast is so small right now, I think that we're going to expand it, because that's kind of what happened in the first season, too. Like, we found other people, we found Penny's little love interest, we found the captain, who they didn't necessarily get along with for the majority of it. So I think that they're not going to be in a great state, but I definitely do think they're still alive, and they're going to mesh together again.
We'll go from lost in space to found in space.
Yeah, they're going to be found in space.
Something's going to find them, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this episode ended with Will saying, if the robot doesn't find me, I'm going to find him.
Yeah.
So, and we know there's a lot of foreshadowing in this show. So I definitely think the robot is on the ship. And, yeah, I think the ship is still intact to some point.
I disagree. I think that ship is down the toilet. It's down the toilet. I think the robots are all up and through it. They are trying to hunt down that the like beacon. I think everyone's gone.
Snap.
Yeah.
You're pessimistic.
I know, yeah. I think the doctor's like having something in my brain. I don't know.
Well, get out of there, doctor. Since it could be that the ship is space waste, I think that's a perfect segue into our last little segment here. Who was the captain of the ship this week and who was space waste?
Controversial, but I'm honestly gonna give our captain to Maureen because she jumped right in after Penny.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's hard for her to have these emotional conversations, but I do think that she is trying. I really do. I think she's making an effort, even if she doesn't do it perfectly all the time. And for our space waste, Judy, my girl, why are you leaving Dr. Smith and Dawn alone? You should definitely be overseeing that blood transfusion. Mm-hmm. That was just not. Yeah. I know you're trying to help, but you need to stay in a little doctor's bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to agree with you on both of those because, yeah, Maureen definitely had a lot of great ideas, which weren't really her ideas. She was like, oh my God, honey, you came up with that idea. Great. Not really. And, yeah, Dr. Smith and Judy, I don't know, those two.
For me, I'd say definitely agree, Judy is space waste. Like, how are you going to leave her alone with all this medical equipment? Like, girl is already, like, going crazy.
There's needles
like,
in their arms.
Yeah. I guess MVP this week, I would have to go with Will. He stepped up his game a little bit. He had, like, a couple little plans that he threw out that worked out pretty well. So I'm giving the little man some props this week.
I think they should have given him two black eyes, though, from that airbag.
Yeah, that was a bit intense.
Well, I think that probably Maureen and Penny should have suffered some sort of accident, some sort of ailments after falling off the side of the mountain, but whatever. I would say that my space waste would actually be Dawn, because he was not paying attention to his surroundings. He got kelped, which ended up sending poor Penny down. And then he just is like, oh, Smith, let me sit here and tell you all the reasons you should be pissed off at everybody and want to kill us. Shut your mouth, Dawn.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth. Open your vein. Shut your mouth. And then I would say the captain of the ship for me, probably Maureen, because without any hesitation, she dove in. Even though I got to say that last line to your daughter, like, be better.
I didn't read your book.
But, you know, whatever. But in the meantime, too, before next week's episode, where can everybody keep up with you guys?
Yes, you guys can find me on Twitter at @alphabet_Ann and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
You guys can find me everywhere at alicesadventuresonearth.com.
Same for me, James Maple. You can find me everywhere at Terrell James Maple.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And you can check me out at relativitypodcast.com. It's a scripted sci-fi podcast, kind of similar to this one, so give it a listen. And you can also check me out on MEA Worldwide. That's MEAWW.com, interviewing your favorite celebrities. Until next time, have a good one.
Bye.
Founder Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.